Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And good afternoon. Welcome in. And we have a lot going on this afternoon. Some huge news from the Big Ten that we will deal with in a few minutes. But one thing we really have enjoyed doing lately has been talking to some of the top coaches in the country. Remember the other day we had a chance to talk to Mel Tucker from Michigan State, and today David Shaw from Stanford. We don't often get a chance to get too far outside the footprint, but we're delighted to say hello to David Shaw. We have not talked to him in a while, but Coach, thanks for making time. I know a lot is happening both on the practice field and around your campus and league, so we appreciate you saying hello today.
Hey, Paul, good to talk to you.
Well, I've read a little bit about your program since media days, and I don't want to, you know, mischaracterize anything, but it sounds like you are feeling very good about this season. I've seen some headlines talking about making a lot of noise, that you've made plenty of noise in your career at Stanford, going to multiple Rose Bowls, and I know you would like to get back to one. How is it going so far?
So far, so good. We had a terrible year last year. I did a bad job. We had injuries with all kinds of things. And I think Stanford is such a special place. We had a lot of guys that could have transferred. They didn't. We had a few guys that could have gone to the NFL. They did not. They came back. So now, I mean, offensively, we've got an exciting group with a potential one of the top quarterbacks in America and one of the top receiving groups and tight ends in America, and a much improved offensive line and one of the top defense backs in America and Caillou Kelly. So I think we've got a fun group to watch, and it should be some exciting football here in the West.
Coach, you've had such great success. When things don't go well, and COVID was a year that a lot of people would like to forget, but last year you mentioned some of the things that went wrong. I know you're always prepared. You've coached at the highest level. You had Hall of Fame coaches when you played at Stanford, and you've been in the NFL under some major personalities. Is there a template for dealing with absolute frustration and disappointment?
There's no template. So I am, and a lot of people won't be surprised that know a little bit about me. I love stoicism, you know, which goes back, you know, thousands of years, and it's not a religion necessarily. It's just a way of thinking. Like, the things that happen, they just happen. Right. In this college football world, in college football world in particular, we're always looking for the reasons and who to blame and who to give credit to and all the stuff that goes around it. But sometimes things just happen. And the people who are successful, the people that are wise, they look at what happens and they learn from it. Right. Some of the worst things you can do is, if you have a great year, they just pat yourself on the back. Sometimes you have to say, okay, why did we have a good year? Oh, wow, it wasn't me. It was because we did X, Y, and Z. So I think always being self-evaluative, but then as a head coach also evaluating the program, sometimes going through a difficult year is really what you need sometimes to bounce back and have a great year the next year. If you're wise with what you're looking at and you glean the right things from them. I think about our 2015, or, you know, Christian McCaffrey's last year, and it finished top five in the nation, Rose Bowl, all that stuff. The year before was a struggle, but it's also what propelled us to having a great year the next year, and that's how I feel about this team this year.
Coach, not to dwell on that, but I'm fascinated by what you're saying. Certainly some things you know just happen, and there's not much you can do about it, but when the season ends, is there a process for you? I know you deal with your staff, but at some point you do probably, I don't know if taking a walk in the woods is too cliche, but you've got to figure it out, though, and you don't have much time to do it.
Oh, there's no question about it. And I do a self-evaluation at the end of every year. I look at the schedule. I look at our practice schedule. I look at our daily schedule. I look at the things, the decisions that I made in game, the four games, and try to comprehensively look and see what I did and what I can do better. This past year, I did top to bottom of the entire program, all of our strength conditioning, all of our health and safety issues, all of our scheduling, and then our scheme. I mean, I looked at all of our scheme and all the things that we were doing, and I feel great about where we are because we didn't add a whole lot, but we streamlined. And I got this advice from someone a while ago, like when you're in one place for a long time, sometimes you take some things for granted and you carry a lot forward as opposed to saying, hey, that was 7 years ago. We don't need that anymore. Right. So we chopped a lot of things. We streamlined what we're doing to make sure it fit that our current players and our current program. And I feel great about where we are.
Coach, final question on that. I don't mean to be dwelling on the negative, but I know there's a line with players. These are college players, and I was talking to a Hall of Fame head coach today, and he said sometimes you can be too hard on the performer as opposed to the performance. And I wonder, can you be too hard on yourself though? Because I'm hearing you, and you're not going easy on David Shaw.
I think as long as it's based on what you believe, because what I did when I went back to ground zero, I went back to philosophy, right? I pictured myself, okay, if I was applying for the head coaching job at Stanford, what would be my philosophy, right? So I put my philosophy for offense, defense, special teams. I sat with my coordinators. We built scheme and structure based on our philosophies, right? So it wasn't a cruel thing I was doing to myself. It was like, hey, you know what? For me to be the best me, I always have to self-evaluate what I can do better, what I did wrong, what I did well. And then once you build a structure, then it starts to come together pretty naturally. So the biggest thing there, which is, you and I both know a lot of college football coaches, the hardest thing is you got to take your ego out of it. And that's not the easiest thing to do for some of us football coaches, right?
No.
Take my ego out of it. Take my past out of it. Because sometimes you say, well, I've done such a great job, I don't have to change anything. Well, that's crap, right? Where am I now? Where are we now? What's going to work for us now? Take the past out of it and build for what you have right now. And we were able to do that. Coaches, we took off, all the things that we used to do and said, okay, what can we do now? And we built it from the ground up over the course of about a month for me. Spring went really well. Training camp's going really well. So I like where we are.
You said something interesting about keeping a lot of key components, and that, not to get into the headlines off the field these days, but that seems to be one of the bigger challenges. If everything had been perfect for you last year, there's still a lot of problems right now in college athletics. What is your view on the changing nature of the game and really how to keep it together?
So for me, I really tried to take the 10,000-foot view and look down. And some of the things that are happening are exciting, right? When done right and done to the rules, like name, image, and likeness is exciting, right? And I've been on a lot of NCAA committees, and I feel very comfortable saying this. We would be in so much a better place right now if the NCAA adopted and embraced in name, image, and likeness 5 to 7 years ago, right? I think it would be more controlled. I think it would be much easier for everybody. But that didn't happen. So I think we're in a difficult spot right now. But there are a lot of positives that are coming from it for our student athletes that are, hey, and going out and engaging with the public and using their name, image, likeness to not just earn money, but build relationships and help themselves in the future. So that's really exciting. What's not exciting is the bastardization of these rules. And I'm not going to say outright cheating, but since there really isn't a gray area when you look at the rules, but the fact that you can kind of get away with some things right now has created this gray area that is not doing right by the student athletes, that is circumventing fair play and in some instances common sense. It's got us into this tumultuous time right now. Because what should we do? What shouldn't we do? Oh, they're doing that. I guess we should try to do that too. But it's putting a lot of kids in positions too to where they're having a tough time. And that's kind of why I love being at Stanford, because it really is not affecting us, because what we have in our degree, what we have in our Stanford experience, what we have in our alumni network, that is balancing out some of the, well, do I take cash to go play there, or do I go to Stanford and get a degree where I'm going to make more than that down the road anyway?
What an interesting analysis. Coach, before you go, and I know this was hashed out 2 or 3 weeks ago when all the coaches got together with the media, but you know, within your own league, two premier members are leaving, and it just opens up the door to look at college athletics through a different prism, much like you were mentioning a minute ago. But, you know, we're talking about billion-dollar television deals being announced today to the east of you. As somebody who really cares about the basic principles of integrity and has fought to maintain them, what are your thoughts on the current state of the game that we all love, and that's college football?
So in keeping with who I am and how I think, it's really hard right now to visualize slash rationalize two West Coast teams playing in a conference in the Midwest and East Coast. I think it's going to be difficult. I think there's no way around it that both those teams are going to have three road games in a row that their student athletes are going to have to pay for. In the long run, I think the complete arc, I believe, will eventually in the next decade or so, these things will kind of work out. I would say one of the wisest parts of that Big Ten deal is that it's not 10, 11, 12 years, you know, it's a 5-year, 6-year deal, whatever it is. I think that's going to allow things to move back at some point towards common sense, whether that means the Big Ten gets bigger again or the Big Ten shrinks again and the Pac-12 reforms or who knows what's going to happen. But I think the fact of having these high-value TV contracts, but for shorter years, is going to kind of allow things hopefully to morph back to where they make a lot of sense. So, like I said, I don't know if I'm answering your question necessarily. That's just kind of the way I'm looking at it. And who knows? We may have two super conferences, like a lot of people have predicted. This may lead us towards having, you know, fewer big conferences over time as these TV contracts become whatever they're going to become. So I'm fascinated to see where it is. I don't think it's the end of the world. I just think it's an evolution that was coming from the first day that we signed our early TV contract that didn't end up being what we thought it was going to be, which for me has led to where we are now, which UCLA and UCLA making a business decision to leave our conference to join the Big Ten. And we'll see what happens with our conference right now with an ESPN out there. They got left out of that deal, and who knows what's going to happen from there. So it's fascinating. I'm not afraid of it, but I do hope this arc eventually comes back to common sense.
David Shaw, the head coach at Stanford, it's so great to hear from you, and we appreciate you making time, and all the best this season, Coach.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. One of the absolute best ever in the game, David Shaw. Just so fascinating to hear his perspective, and what a great appreciation we all have for him. We're off and running, a lot to do, and he was referencing that Big Ten deal, which is now official. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Headline. Nick Saban believes he's more approachable than you think. What about it, Coach?
I think that most of you all, including the person asking the question, sort of think I'm not approachable. And I don't think that's the case at all. So one of the things that I've always found the radio show to give me an opportunity to do is to allow people to approach me and see how approachable I am. So we let people at the venue ask questions. We let call-in people ask questions. I think it's a good thing for me to, you know, see some of the media people that are actually host on the show. I get to know them a little bit better. They see a little different side of me. I see a little different side of them. So I think it's nothing but, you know, sort of an opportunity to build positive relationships. And, you know, sometimes you get a bad call, but sometimes we deserve a bad call. I mean, sometimes I don't think we did very well either. So why should somebody out there not think we did something very well? So, I'm not offended by people who call in. I think it's an opportunity for them to approach me and me to have respect for them and how they support the program.
Okay, let's move on. And Stetson Bennett is in the news. Big story in Sports Illustrated by Pat Forty, and we'll talk to Pat about Stetson. Quite an interesting article about what he's had to overcome and how recognizable he is now. And the big news, and we've been anticipating it now for some time, but the Big Ten finally made it official. They have literally blown the rest of college football and college athletics away with a seven-year more than $1 billion deal. The next conference, of course, is the SEC, significantly behind. That doesn't mean here's the most significant thing out of this. CBS is now going to be doing Big Ten games. They will do a few next year while that will be the final year. Not this year, but next year, the final year of the SEC contract. And the Big Ten and CBS announced today, President Sean McDonough, that Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson, who currently do SEC games, will also now do Big Ten games. So fans of the Big Ten will get a chance to be exposed to Gary Danielson every Saturday afternoon as well. Let's get to the calls here. As soon as we tell you, the Pat Forty will join us in about an hour. Mike Norvell, the head coach at Florida State, they take on LSU. And then some more of our roving reporters. Mackenzie Brooks from Georgia, we'll get a chance to meet her. Brandon will be joining us from the Gator or the Alligator. And Robert Stewart from the Arkansas Traveler. And now the phone calls. Richard starts it off in Atlanta. Hello, Richard.
Hey, Paul. Excited to be on the show today.
Thank you very
much. Love the show always. I'm going to have a limited amount of time here, so I know I want to cover two topics. I'm a Georgia fan, longtime Georgia fan, and both relate to Kirby Smart. Number one, the moment that college football shifted to offensively to win championships was when teams like Nick Saban immediately recognized that it was about having a dual-threat quarterback, and big-time receivers. And we talk about Kirby and how he was the next tree, but it seemed like Kirby fell a long way from the tree on this one offensively, Paul, because he's refused to adopt what really is winning championships. And look, I'm so grateful we won a championship last year, and that was done on defense, Paul. Let's just call it like it is. And it was a feat that Kirby was able to do that. But in order to compete with Alabama, or to try and be a team that, while Nick Saban is still there, that Kirby can beat, I don't think Georgia's going to get it done without a big-time dual-threat quarterback and receivers. And so if you look at recruiting, and I'll make this quick, you look at recruiting in Georgia offensively, they're defensively they're doing great, but offensively, surprise, surprise, they're not getting any big-time wide receivers. They're not getting any big-time five-star quarterbacks like we see for the top teams in the country. And so I wanted to make that the first point. And real quickly, the second point is NIL. Kirby came out, I know you know this, about 3 weeks ago and made a comment about NIL. And to boil it down, he said two things. One, he said that he loved the fact that players that were, let's say they were walk-ons or three stars, two stars, could get some compensation to help them go through school. We're talking about minimum amounts of money. However, he said he could not embrace paying a pair $10,000 a month, which would be $120,000 annual. And here you have big-time schools like in Texas particularly paying players, $2 and $3 million for NIL deals. So I'm going to stop there and ask you to address those two questions. I'd like to listen to it.
Yeah, thank Richard, you. Thank you very much. I believe you said a freshman making that kind of money. But, again, I'm not a media consultant. I'm a talk show host. But I think coaches, whenever they start talking about this, end up walking down dark alleys they probably should avoid because there's no good answer. Hey, thank you for the call. Billy is up next in Philly. Hello, Billy.
Hi, nice to talk to you, Paul.
Thank you.
I haven't called in for a long time, but I have been watching steadily, and I think you continue to do a terrific job.
Thank you.
You're a comfort to many people. The big question I wanted to address is the Big Ten and this gigantic contract they have. I guess the real question is, will this allow them to use their large, the money pool, the rich audience they have, to build a better program, to put on a better product, to actually compete with the SEC, or will this contract just be the floor that the SEC will use for its next negotiation?
The problem, Billy, it's a great question. The problem is the SEC has not even started its new contract yet and it runs for 10 years. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't look-ins, and that doesn't mean as expansion grows, you can go back. But most deals are, you come from the financial world, most deals are, the thing I don't like about the SEC deal is it was consummated in December of 19. It wasn't announced until December of 20, and it doesn't go into effect until 24.
Wow, you mean if this thing goes till 34?
I believe so. I have these numbers down somewhere, but I'm pretty sure it's a 10-year
okay.
deal.
Well, that's a problem. The coach you just had on from Stanford, I thought, made a very interesting point. I'm glad it's a short deal. 6 years. He said 6 years.
That was the genius of Jim Delaney. He cut a very short deal that allowed the Big Ten to open the door today, and then they've also cut a reasonably short deal where the SEC's big mistake in 2008, and it turned out to be one of the most expensive mistakes off the field the league has ever made. They cut a 15-year deal, and when we have literally, I say we, that's a collective word for the SEC, have been stuck with CBS for about 4 years after we knew they were going elsewhere, and we're done. They're involved at least one more year this year, and probably next year, unless there can be some buyout, and there's always that possibility. Let's hope. And it's interminable.
Is there any way out? I mean, we're getting two great teams.
There is a way out next year, and the way out is for ESPN to buy their way out.
But you mean buy out CBS?
Yeah, and that could happen. I'm in an awkward position here because Obviously, I'm very close.
Talking
to
about the boss.
I'm close to the SEC because that's the league that we talk about here every day. But I work for ESPN. So, but I will tell you this. I mean, ESPN could. I mean, ESPN made a great deal. I think you would agree. They're paying less for the SEC package than where they have exclusivity for the whole league than CBS is paying for the second or third package for the Big Ten cover. It's mind-boggling when you look at these numbers.
Yeah. So what is the hope then that ESPN ups the bid, that they push CBS out? SEC. You know, it's a smaller population base,
right?
And a better program,
yeah.
And they have a better product, but.
It's not like the SEC is on a losing streak. The SEC could not do any more to make it attractive. And the numbers
Correct.
That the SEC gets are still gargantuan. Forget where the population base is. When Alabama played Georgia last year in the SEC championship game, people were watching all over the country. And will be again. It's just the problem with doing deals early. And I think the one thing that at the time – I'm just giving you an opinion from the sidelines. It looked like it was a great deal to get entirely in bed with the SEC and ESPN because of this network that mm-hmm. the show is being disseminated on is owned by ESPN. But what the Big Ten did with a commissioner who came from the NFL is he stole the playbook from Roger Goodell. He opened it up for everyone. So he has a similar deal that the NFL has. He has three different bidders, and when you're one of three, you understand that you can pay more.
Sure. Okay. Well, I hope it works out. I will follow it with great interest. I think that there's no reason why the SEC can't continue to put on to have a better product.
Billy, thanks for the call. It's not that is not going to change, and I know everybody out there going, so what? Big Ten's still going to get beat. You're probably right, except for this, that the Big Ten schools are going to be making significantly more money right now than the SEC schools. Don't forget, Oklahoma and Texas are around the corner. You have to think this could expedite that. And you also don't know where expansion leads, and it could lead to a lot more money. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Pat Forte about that subject in about 30 minutes.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I've come in from work and I've done the math and I'd like to propose a trade.
Sure.
Is there any way that we can send Jim from Tuscaloosa to CBS for Gary Danielson? And then maybe turn around and offer AC and a pack of chewing gum and swap Gary Danielson.
No matter how annoying AC could be, I think Jim would be great. I would rather listen to a jackhammer in my ear than Gary Danielson on a SEC game. I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul Feinbaum.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. That's very polite of you. You know what? You's a good man. I love that. He's a good man. You know, yesterday, Squirrel kind of had some breaking news, and it's true. Squirrel and I was talking one day, and you know, he was telling me what he told you about Tammy, and he said, you know, he would love for him to kind of get me and Jim to kind of patch up some things, because Jim thinks I hate him. And and Squirrel knows I don't hate Jim. I think Jim is one of the more fascinating creatures you've ever dissected on this program. I mean, he's certified damn crazy. CDC, certified damn crazy. And when he calls, I'm always just, it just captures my attention because he says so much. And then when you repeat his exact words, he goes ballistic. And you're all of these connected little things he puts together with a redneck. And I love the racist term monkey that he throws at me. I mean, all that stuff doesn't matter to me, but he's such a thin-skinned individual that has lived such a miserable life for 77 years. And, you know, Paulie, he's always saying I'm jealous of him. I would not trade 5 minutes of my entire life for one day of his. There's nothing to be jealous of. I've accomplished more. I've been more. I've done more. I've met more. I am more. I'm more than Jim from Tuscaloosa ever could have dreamed of. And I'm very content. And so I agreed with you, Squirrel. Yeah, we could try that. But it wasn't to suck up Jim or you know, what I figured it'd be is one of the phone feuds, but it would be X-rated. Kind of, you know, I figured we would hear Jim at his finest using all of those words he uses off the air. And I thought it would be nice to, you know, to extend the olive branch to him. But like I said, he's one of the more fascinating, craziest damn people I've ever heard on radio, TV, anywhere. Now, what are your thoughts about me extending the olive branch?
I have no thoughts at all.
Oh, you don't have any thoughts at all? You've been stumped. That's impressive. You've been stumped, and you're such a good man. How about that? Warden Eagle, have a good day.
AC is up next in Canada. Hello, AC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. You know, did Nick Saban just say he's approachable? If I recall, 4 years ago, he yelled at Maria Taylor. Oh, I know what happened, because good old Nick Saban, he lost his little Debbies that he likes to eat. So this guy was hungry. Yeah, you're short. You seem approachable, but when you're upset,
first of all,
you are
AC,
not approachable.
I don't know if it's like you saying or me saying or somebody saying about themselves. I'm a good guy. I'm really authentic. I'm nice. You can't analyze yourself.
Absolutely.
And you can't say you're approachable when you got a bunch of PR flax around you like a wedge, keeping anybody's grubby hands off of you, and then using the fact that you get paid to do a radio show every Thursday night, and that's your interpretation of accessibility. The fact that you're being paid to show up at a restaurant that's part of your $12 million a year contract. I mean, that's pretty funny.
But the thing is, let's be positive, okay? He seems like a nice guy, but let's put it this way: him and Bill Belichick—they're all the same. They don't like the media. That's a conclusion.
No, well, that's an absolute fact.
But here's the thing. Last night, I was super nice for the first time. I said, Jim, I could help you. What did he do? He took a cheap shot at me. He called me a moron. You see what I'm dealing
hey,
with?
That's a compliment.
Oh, please, give me a break. Yeah, that's a compliment. So when he called you, I'm not going to say the word. I don't want to get myself banned. So I guess it was a compliment when he called you evil B not too long ago. I recall
you
everything.
Know, AC,
your father, so I guess it was a compliment too, right?
I have a general rule on the show that when it's over, it's over. The next day, we hit the reset button. Jim is next.
I thought you did well, Paul. I was a little surprised with your no comment, there's no comment
Jim,
to be made.
I'm not going to engage in that kind of ridiculous conversation.
Well, that shows me you're how do I say it? You're going where you need to go, and sometimes you didn't used to go there. You know what I mean? And
I agree. I've learned that, engaging with that type of banter. It's like, you know, I'm sure your father or your grandmother or somebody once said, when you wrestle with pigs, you're going to get mud all over you.
That's priceless. For you to say that's priceless. And by the way, he always tries to make me be an old man, which he is, and I'm not. I'm not 77. He's lied about everything, Paul, but he's just a liar. I said I wasn't going to go into this, so I'll stop there. But I compliment you on your graceful way of handling somebody like him, and I won't call any more names. I do have a question. I've had people tell me, you shouldn't worry about that guy, Jim, because he's so nutty. He's so nasty. Do you agree with him? Many of my friends.
I had somebody in the national media came after me today, and I was talking to my friends here. Do you respond or you just turn the other cheek? I'm not trying to go biblical, but most of the time it really doesn't matter. And you always have to consider the source. I mean, do you really care what that person thinks of you? And if you don't,
you know
care,
what? No, I don't care what he thinks, but I care what he makes other people think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, that does make sense.
Doesn't that make sense? And Paul, that's why I've always come back at him, probably sometimes looking bad doing it. But that's why I've always tried to respond, because I don't want anybody thinking or even have any way remotely believing anything that fool liar says about me. Do you understand that? I think you do.
I have a friend who's very successful. You've heard his name, and I'm not going to mention it. One of the most prominent lawyers in Alabama history. And he once told me, we were having dinner, and he said, when somebody comes after you, you go after them twice as hard.
Well, that's what I do.
But unfortunately, that guy's now in federal prison, so it's hard to take his advice seriously.
I think I know who that is. I think you spilled the beans with that one, Paul. Yeah. Everybody's been listening to the show for 15 years or more or less or whatever knows who you're talking about.
Yeah, I quit taking his advice once they carried him off in an orange jumpsuit.
Well, I want to say this, though. You know, I consider Danny Sheridan a friend of mine. He's been a friend of mine. He's given me excellent advice. And I don't take advice from a lot of people because, you know, I'm my own agent, as you know. I'm my own man. I'm my own guy. I learn my stuff my own. Nobody taught me what I know. I know what I know from learning, being wise, God-given ability, God-given wisdom, and that's all I needed in life. And I'm thankful. But I love the fact that some people have reached out that are sapient people also, and I appreciate very much what Danny Sheridan told me. He helped me a lot. But, you know, one thing he told me was, he said, Jim, ignore the cockroaches. Now, and he does that.
Jim, it's just not easy. Jim, you're rushing me to a break here because we went long, but it's great advice, by the way. Thank you for calling. We're coming right back. More right after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
In Virginia. Hello, CJ.
Hey, Paul. Hey, I just about fell out of my chair. When you said about, hey, God, I can't hear his name right now. Gary Daniels.
Yeah.
Gary Daniels, because when you said I'd rather hear a jackhammer in my ear than Gary Daniels, that is exactly the way I feel. And it's, I thought it was, you know, I don't know. He's him and Vern Lundquist. Everybody talked about how Vern was so great. I mean, you can go back and listen to so-called game of the century when LSU and Bama were playing. Vern was actively cheering for Bama during that game. If you go back and listen to the catch where it looked like Alabama had a catch at the one-yard line and we picked it off instead, and he's like, oh, no. I mean, Garrett Daniels, every year, every game, he actively pulls it. Anyway, it just drives us LSU fans crazy. So whenever he finally gets off the air from SEC games, it'll be a good day. But anyway, I want to talk LSU.
Sure.
Yeah, a lot of these SEC West teams are pinning in LSU as a win. I mean, the entire SEC West and Tennessee. And I would say not so fast, my friend, right? Because, I mean, LSU's going to have an elite defense. All right, you can mark it down. LSU will have an elite defense this year. All right, I know we got some holes here and there, but we're going to do much better than a lot of people think. I'm not willing to say, okay, I'm not kooky. I'm not going to say we're going to win the national championship and Daniels, the transfer from Arizona State, is going to win the Heisman. I'm not going that far. But I can easily see us going 8-4, 9-3, and pulling some upsets because most of the games could be toss-up games. I mean, everybody's got Alabama's winning pretty big, but, hey, an elite defense is a great equalizer, and Tiger Stadium is a great equalizer.
You know, part of that, CJ, that I don't think, and that's why the first game is so critical, and we're talking to one of the coaches in the first game in a minute, and Mike Norvell. That's going to tell us a lot, and I know I try to avoid standardized cliches, but I don't know what to expect from LSU. I think they're going to be good, but last year was such a bewildering year of good and bad and terrible and excellent that it's hard to know. Hey, thank you for the call. We've already had one great coach on in David Shaw. We'll talk to Norvell later on. We have Pat 40 coming up in a minute. And give us the latest on this Big Ten media rights deal that has everybody in college football talking today.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.